Hello there. Welcome to another Bernie Minkless show here on my YouTube channel. I hope your Sunday is off to a pleasant start. I hope you've had a really outstanding weekend. Although if you are a Mizzou football fan, probably could be feeling a little better. And again, thank you for subscribing, those of you who do. And the response to the Mizzou videos have been really, really good. I appreciate all your comments. So please feel free to leave them again after you watch this video, because I think we have a lot of opinions on, okay, how should we feel about the Tiger season? And pardon me, I will get into that. I'm going to be looking at my notes today because I want to be organized. I don't want to be rambling too much. I am a rambling man, but sometimes too much. My stream of consciousness isn't for everybody. I try my best, my friends. But anyway, so I'm going to be looking down at times. I just want to do, explain things to you. So South Carolina 34, Mizzou 30. I was surprised that it was a close game. I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic. I always look at things from, if I were to wager on a game, all right, does that line make sense? And that line going into the game made sense, depending on where you look at the against the spread lines. Mizzou was, I'm just going to say, a two-touchdown underdog. And I know they've had success against South Carolina. That really is irrelevant to – it was irrelevant to this particular game, although they did make a run at it for sure. So Mizzou was a two-touchdown underdog going into Williams-Brice Stadium, and that really wasn't a silly thing. Coming into the game, South Carolina had won three in a row, defeating Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt by a combined score of 107-36. And before that, SC should have beaten Alabama, and they also let a win slip away against LSU. And basically, bad field goal kicking was paramount in both defeats. Those two losses to Bama and LSU came by an average of 2.5 points. So South Carolina is actually playing great football, and I checked this morning the College Football Power Index that you can find at ESPN and some other places. South Carolina went into the game number 15 in the country in FPI, and they're up to 13th this morning as I record this, or this afternoon, I should say. And that's legitimate. I mean, we're talking about the way they're playing now and their body of work. It's really, really good, because even when they lose, man, they lose by a whisker. Only one bad loss as far as getting blown out. All right, let's talk. I got two purposes today. I want to talk about the game, and then I want to talk about the overview of the program and the season and how I feel, and maybe asking you, I am asking you how you feel about it. Yesterday, the unanticipated return of starting quarterback Brady Cook, it gave Mizzou a boost. Now, to question my own narrative, it did not give them a boost per se at the beginning of the game, because even though it was great to see Brady Cook back in there, and we know that he does inspire his teammates, Mizzou only scored 6 points in the first half. But, and we saw Brady underthrow some guys, and you wonder, well, is that wrist, is that fully functional? I mean, what percent of strength does he have and flexibility? Don't know, but you could just tell it was an issue in the first half, but probably loosened up, for lack of a better term. And if you look at his second half numbers, and Mizzou outscored South Carolina in second half, Cook completed 8 for 11, 126 yards and a touchdown. He led the Tigers to 3 touchdown drives and a field goal. In the fourth quarter, when Mizzou really made its move as far as taking the lead, Cook was 4 out of 6, 98 yards, had that beautiful, beautiful throw and connection with Luther Burden for the 37-yard touchdown that gave the Tigers a 30-27 lead with a little bit more than a minute left. And we thought, okay, Mizzou's pulling this out. They're pulling it off. They're going to do this. They're going to get out of here with a dub. Well, we'll talk about why they didn't here in a minute. I'm talking about the good stuff right now. Mizzou was really strong at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. If we're talking about the physical part of the game, the running game primarily, Tigers offensive line pushed a really strong South Carolina defensive line out of the way all afternoon. they opened up wide lanes for Nate Noel. And boy, just a reminder how good he is when he's healthy and he's full go. That was impressive. He chewed up SC's defense for 150 yards and a touchdown on 27 carries. He averaged 5.6 yards per run. Against that defense, the way it's been playing, that's really outstanding. So the big fellas up front, and I thought they did a pretty good job of protecting Brady Cook. But I'm talking about the street fighting stuff up front. On the other side of this brawl, the Mizzou defense did an admirable job of controlling South Carolina's very good star running back, Rock Sanders, on the ground. He averaged only 2.8 yards per carry on 19 rushes. And Missouri, as you know, stopped South Carolina on three different fourth down plays. That was a show of strength that actually kept Mizzou in the game until the offense could really start rolling almost at peak level, right? So those were some of the really good things. I mean, it's not meant to list every good thing that happened in the game, or I'd be sitting here for 90 minutes. I don't think you want that. All right, let's get into the bad. The Tigers are 0-3 on the road in SEC games, and they had another first half fizzle. Their first halves on the road against SEC rivals are downright, they're downers. I mean, they're just bummers, right? Yeah, I can talk like it's 1968. What the heck? Although I was only a kid then. Anyway, Mizzou trailed South Carolina 21-6 at the break for the season in the three SEC road games at Texas A&M, at Alabama, at South Carolina. Mizzou outscored 58-6. Come on. I try to be positive when positivity is warranted. I like to praise the Tigers, because if I'm praising the Tigers, it means they're winning and they're doing well and we're all happy. But I'm never going to kind of just like dance away from the truth. You know, I'm not going to pull any punches either. I think you all know me by now. To get outscored, to get trampled, stomped, 58-6 in the first half on the road of your three SEC games away from Columbia, Missouri, that's embarrassing. It's actually kind of a disgrace. I mean, that is really feeble stuff. But there's an overarching reason for that, which I'll get into. Again, you have to just be patient with me because I'll get all into all this stuff. The run defense aside, Mizzou did an awful job of tackling, especially in the final quarter. They couldn't get quarterback Lenoris Sellers on the ground. They squandered some sack opportunities, including one real big one in the fourth quarter where they had stopped South Carolina on three straight drives, and they had a third and long, and Johnny Walker Jr. let Sellers escape. It should have been a big sack that would have set up a fourth and forever. And of course, Carolina got that reprieve and they went down and scored. They went down to score, make it, I think, 22-21. But the point is their momentum was revived after three stops in a row by the Mizzou defense, the three previous drives. And that was a momentum changer, just letting Sellers get away. And I know, man, he can't be easy to tackle. I know that. But you got to find a way to get him on the ground. So if you look at it, you know, Mizzou, and this was a huge factor in what happened on the day, Mizzou sacked him only one time, and if it was a five-yard loss. Time and time and time and time and time again, Mizzou defenders let SC's receivers run away for big yards after the catch. We've seen this happen way too often this season. And the volume of blown pass coverage assignments is totally ridiculous. It's unacceptable. Mizzou's 7-3. They've played 10 games, okay? This was their sixth SEC games. What are y'all working on in meeting rooms, and what are y'all working on in practice? Why is it every single week there are like at least two or three like glaring blown coverages where they're looking at each other like, oh, I thought you were going to be there. Oh, no, you were supposed to be there. I mean, you could see this happening with a new defensive coordinator early in the season, especially when you start to play real games, which Mizzou did not do until they met Boston College. But why is this still happening? And why, like yesterday, for example, was it as bad as ever? How come there has been no noticeable improvement, meaningful improvement in this area? And let's all be candid, shall we? This is not a good look for Mizzou's first-year defensive coordinator, Corey Batoon. His defense does not generate enough pressure, does not get enough sacks. This is all backed up by the metrics. They get burned by playing too much man coverage. That's another thing I don't understand. It ain't working. And then Mizzou, the only term I can think of, self-destructive. Self-destructive in all of these coverage assignments that they screw up. And they're sitting there staring like, well, what just happened? Not a good look for the first year Mizzou defensive coordinator. Not a good look at all. And I noticed some exasperation and frustration in Eli Drinkwitz's voice after the game, talking about, we got to look at what we're doing. Yeah, with all due respect, and I'm trying to really kind of not get too snarky. Coach, you're right. 99.9% of Mizzou fans totally agree with you. We got to look at what we're doing over there. Greed. It's the 10th game, coach. I don't know. Maybe some urgency a little earlier in the season to take a look at what you're doing, your team's doing over there. Maybe just, I don't know. Maybe make it like the biggest priority on your team. Anyway, I'm sure he was, but I got to get some of this off my chest. Sellers just absolutely destroyed Mizzou's pass defense, just destroyed it. He completed 70% of his 30 passing attempts, 353 yards, 5 touchdown passes, including the game winner. On that shovel pass or whatever you want to call it, where Rock Sanders made a great run. And again, dodged tacklers, bounced off tacklers. Mizzou had a chance to wrap them up. But really bad tackling day, except on straight running plays. So Sellers, 353 yards, 70%. His passer rating was over 200. 5 touchdowns, only 1 pickoff. Sellers and his receivers, usually, you know, I will give you yards per passing attempt, okay? The one that stands out because of the missed assignments and the missed tackles, Sellers and his receivers averaged an astonishing just under 17 yards per reception. I didn't have time. I might go look at it after I finish this. I got to think that in recent seasons, maybe, to see an opposing quarterback and the people he's throwing the ball to average 17 yards per reception. Wow. Burn marks, man. I mean, we're talking major burn marks, and you don't need me to tell you that. I was just trying to quantify it for you. So, South Carolina, just in the passing game, let me get back to my notes now. Got to switch. They had 7 pass plays that covered at least 15 yards and 6 pass plays that covered at least 26 yards all the way up to like 46 or 47 yards. And this was another bad thing about this game, this performance for Mizzou. The Tigers lost the big play battle in a major way. Now, I'm not saying Mizzou didn't make big plays. They made 8 big plays. That's where you gain 15 yards or more, either running it or throwing it, right? But they couldn't keep up in the big play battle with South Carolina. South Carolina just torched the Mizzou defense with 11 plays. That includes now 2 or 3 in the running game. They had 11 big plays that accounted for 302 yards. 302 yards allowed just on big play punches, right? That's just not good enough defense. And I know South Carolina's on a roll, man. I talked about it. I know that they had a lot of guys on that side of the ball playing great. The Mizzou offense had big plays. But if we count out the total yardage on each side on big plays, that usually mean you're, if you can do well there, if you can get more big plays than the other guy, you got a really good chance to win the game. And Mizzou did have a good chance to win the game, despite the fact that if we add up all the big play yardage, Mizzou had about 100 fewer yards than South Carolina in this game on big plays offensively. Missouri, you know, after that slow start and after Brady Cook and everyone got in sync and Brady was throwing it better and the receivers were making really good plays, Mizzou tried, really tried to keep up and actually had more scoring drives than South Carolina, 6-5. The difference, of course, is that all five South Carolina scoring drives ended in touchdowns. Mizzou stalled out too many times. They had to settle for 4 field goal attempts. They made 3, and they scored 3 touchdowns. So South Carolina, they both moved the ball pretty well, really well, especially South Carolina. But where South Carolina cashed in for 5 TDs, Mizzou only cashed in for 3. And in a high-scoring game, which this was, 64 points between the two sides, that's going to cost you. South Carolina scored touchdowns on 45% of their overall offensive possessions yesterday. 45%. That is a big number. Not field goals, touchdowns. 45% of their possessions. Like I said, Mizzou tried, but they scored touchdowns, the Tigers did, on only 27% of their possessions. All of their possessions. In a way, it's a big difference. And in a way, you know, frankly, I'm thinking about all these things I've talked about, and it's actually a little surprising Mizzou only lost this thing by 4 points in a game that went right down to the bitter end. The Tigers could have and should have won this one. And, you know, with Brady Cook really giving them a big boost to the morale and a big shot of energy and all that stuff, just seeing them out there uplifts this team. It doesn't matter what you think or what I think. It doesn't matter. I'm saying it uplifts the team. That's what matters. The Tigers, you know, and having a healthy and fully operational Nate Newell just running through that good defense, Tigers should have won this one, but Corey Batoon's defense could not make the one stop, ignoring everything else that came before it, with all the missed tackles and blown assignments. Batoon's defense could have salvaged a lot, including feeling a little better about its overall performance. They had to make one stop with the game on the line, one stop after Cook and Burden hooked up on that gorgeous 37-yard touchdown pass to give Mizzou the lead. Make one stop. Get off the field. And Batoon's defense could not make the one stop that it absolutely needed to make. It had to make. It was 100% necessary to make. That was the most disappointing part of this. Yeah, okay, I'm giving you some leeway. You had a rough day defensively. Shake it off. Your offense just did something incredibly exciting and thrilling and inspirational. All we're asking, Mizzou fans, just make one stop, please. Just one, and we'll sing your praises. Well, you know how that happened. Let's talk about the overview, where I'm kind of pivoting into the season. Mizzou 7-3 overall, 3-3 in the SEC. But we do see, and this is what troubles me about it, there's nothing wrong with being 7-3, except it should be better. But it can't be better when there is a clear and unmistakable difference in Mizzou's play relative to the quality of the competition. And that's the key thing about their season, the way it has gone. I want to do the Nick Saban thing. You know, when he talks, even on game day, he's always chopping things as he's getting to his next point. Anyway, here's what I mean about there being such a glaring difference in their quality of performance based on the quality of the opposition. This season, Mizzou's 0-3 versus ranked teams and have averaged only 13.3 points in those 3 games. Against unranked teams, the Tigers are averaging over 34 points per game. So the better teams have left the Mizzou offense exposed, and South Carolina did for a half. Mizzou got it in gear in the second half, as we talked about. So I am acknowledging that part. But overall in the three games, average only 13.3 points against ranked teams. Now, the Mizzou defense ain't much better. Well, in fact, it ain't better on that side of the ball. Mizzou has allowed 36.3 points per game against ranked teams. When they don't play a ranked team, they get the stops. They've only given up 13 points per game against unranked teams. Although Vanderbilt scored quite a bit, and Vandy's not ranked right now and wasn't ranked at the time. So do you see that discrepancy based on how good the team is that Mizzou is playing? And depending on the quality of the competition, this separation is obvious on both sides of the ball. It wasn't like that in 2023. See, that's the difference between last year and this year. It was nothing like this last year. Like, for example, last season, the Tigers scored 35 points per game against 8 unranked opponents, but they were still within that range. There wasn't, you know, a big, huge drop when they played 5 ranked teams. They scored an average of 28 per game. So you got a 7-point difference compared to like a 21-point difference this year when you play a ranked team in terms of how much you score and how much you give up. It's a huge gap. It was a small gap last year, relatively speaking. And with Mizzou yielding an average of 19 points, last year the defense allowed only a little bit over 19 points a game to unranked teams. When they played the ranked teams, they averaged 23 points per game. You see what I'm saying? Last year's defense, it didn't matter who they played. They performed at a high level. Not every single moment, not every single quarter, not every single half, but they played at a very high level. Whether the team was unranked, or the team was ranked, or whether the team was an FBS level team that had a winning record, or one that had a losing record. You were going to get the best of this defense pretty much on a consistent basis. That ain't the case this year. And this defensive collapse, based on lining up against good teams, it's pretty demoralizing. And I don't know what this means for the defensive coordinator, but I'm trying to be fair here, but I am prepared to say his work has in fact been a disappointing showing in 2024. Listen, the Tigers are good overall, and I'm not going to be talking much longer, so stay with me. They're good overall. Again, I'm not going to sneer at a 7-3. I'm going to sneer about some of the things that went into the 7-3. But the Tigers have just gotten smooshed when they're moving up in class to face tougher opponents. It's like a horse racing thing. And I grew up around horse racing. And, you know, you see a team beat up. You know, you see a horse win races against lesser competition. And they win the race and they look great. Then you move them up in class. Then you move them in. You put them in with faster horses with more of a track record. And your horse doesn't show out. Your horse is, wait a minute, where is he? I can't find him. What? He's that far behind? I mean, it really is a horse racing analogy that we can liken to Mizzou. Listen, Mizzou can still secure a 10-win season by beating Mississippi State on the road, then coming home, beating Arkansas. I don't take any of those games for granted. And then they win their bowl game, right? That's a 10-win season. And really, that's nothing to sneer at if we look at Mizzou history. But here is the disappointment that I think many of you, if not all of you, share about this 2024 campaign so far. Mizzou did not take advantage of a highly favorable schedule in the SEC. Remember before the start of the season, we said, well, boy, this thing is set up for the Mizzou Tigers to get to the National College Football Playoff. Because if you look at this schedule, wow. It's a wonderful opportunity, just a beautiful opportunity. They really didn't maximize it. They didn't come close to maximizing it. Okay, here's the deal. Only four SEC teams have had a lighter schedule this season than Mizzou in strength of schedule ratings: Texas, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So Mizzou's had, yeah, one of the five easiest schedules in a 16-team conference, and they're 7-3. Instead of being, we could have given them a mulligan, right? You know, you have a bad day, you lose at Alabama or whatever. But nah, as soon as they got in with company that was better than they were, they pretty much fell apart. Did not take advantage of the favorable schedule. And the other thing you can see this, and I looked this up today at ESPN, they have a thing called game control. It is as it implies. You know, are you in control of the football game? Mizzou ranks 45th in the nation in this area of controlling the game. But in the SEC, the only teams that have been worse than, quote, controlling the game this season, Auburn and Mississippi State. You don't want to be hanging down there with those fellas, right? So it just shows you when you have an easy schedule in the powerful SEC, and we see the schedule like a team like Georgia has played, that Alabama has played, right? I mean, just they've had their hands full all the time. When you have the gift of an easy schedule, you shouldn't be trailing so often. You shouldn't be scrambling, panicking a little, hurrying up, frantic attempts to catch up and win over and over and over and over and over again. You shouldn't be getting hammered and pummeled so thoroughly on the road in the first half of these SEC road games. Now, look, if Mizzou goes 9-3 and 10-2, I still think it's a heck of a season. It's just not the season we dreamed of and thought was a realistic possibility. And that's why it's disappointing, even though 9-3, 10-2 preferably would be a really good season by Mizzou standards. And even now, today, Mizzou's ranked 24th in the nation in the power index. I mean, so in effect, it's a top 25 program at the moment, and it was certainly that last year. And Mizzou, even with all the problems on defense and this and that and this and that, they're still rated more highly than quite a few name brand programs, both old and new. And I respect that. I do. But you probably can't shake the realization of knowing that their 2024 season held so much promise and could have been better. Coach Drinkwitz and his crew could not rise up to that necessary elite level of national prominence, and that's why they're not going to be in the playoff. They didn't earn it. They didn't take advantage of the light schedule that should have lifted them and propelled them to a spot in the 12-team tournament. As of now, if you look at the power index again, the Tigers are ranked 9th among the SEC teams, After last season, and with a lot of the talent returning and a lot of other things that were positive, transfer portal, recruiting, money pouring in, facility upgrades. With that schedule, you shouldn't be the 9th best team in the FPI. Among the SEC colony, you should not be 9th. You have to be better than that. We expected more. And here's my question to you, and then I will shut up, I promise. We expected more, and it's good to have high expectations. That's been one of the problems historically for Mizzou, in my opinion. If you listen to my radio shows, you've heard me caterwaul about this. Raise your standards. Quit having low standards. Quit doing jumping jacks and cartwheels, you know, because they go 6-6 or they go 7-5. You're in the SEC. You got to get to a higher level. That opportunity was there this season. We expected more, rightfully so. And maybe we shouldn't have expected more than this. I don't know what it says about the coaching. I don't know what it says about the talent level. I don't know what it says about making, correcting things when you obviously have problems and these problems still exist. 10 games into the season, you're still blowing pass coverages and you're still missing tackles. And there's a lot of other things too. Your special teams as a whole are terrible. How much is this is on the coach? How much is it on the players? How much is it on the assistants? I think we can go in a lot of different ways on that. And that's why I want your comments in, you know, underneath the video, what you think about it. Personally, I've been disappointed with Drinkwitz. I've been disappointed with Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, where his offense just does not fire out against really good teams. It will for spurts and for bursts. But I gave you those numbers like last season when Mizzou played a really good team or a not so good team. There really wasn't that big of a difference in their point differential. This year, totally different. So the head coach obviously has a lot of responsibility for the disappointment in this season so far. And I think the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, does. And I know that the new defensive coordinator does. So one thing, and I'm not going to jump too far ahead. I don't know what this means in terms of after the season, after everything is done. Will Drink shake up some things with his staff? I don't know. I don't know. But they're going to have to continue to get talent in here. My wish and yours, to continue to get better talent in here. And Drinkwitz has done he's done a really good job with that. You got to max out with that talent. You got to hit your peak performance a lot more often than this team did in 2024. And for those of you who say, well, Birdie, you're not being fair. They lost Brady Cook. He was bad. Listen, no, my friends, I love you. No, I love Brady Cook. But how many times in this video did you hear me say before he got hurt, he wasn't playing that well, or the offense wasn't playing that well. The passing game was not what it should have been. So no, I'm not going to give that excuse, gift wrap an excuse to the Mizzou players, the coaching staff for that. Because we all knew Brady wasn't on point long before the injuries set in, right? All right, that's going to do it on this Sunday. I hope you pulled something out of all of the things I wanted to discuss today. I guess I could have done two shorter videos, but I thought, listen, it's a Sunday. It'll be a Sunday night soon. You got plenty of time. Just watch 15 minutes and then watch the next 17 minutes. Just stop it halfway through. All right, you be good. Thank you again for your support. I'll be back tomorrow morning, Monday morning, here on The Birdie Show.